Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is the music of Regina Carter, jazz violinist and MacArthur genius. And if this track sounds a little familiar, it's because you've probably heard it before. There's another version.
Each time I hold somebody new, my arms grow cold, aching for you. No one can take your place.
The unmistakable voice of Ella Fitzgerald singing I'll Never Be Free, originally sung by her and Louis Jordan. Regina Carter is putting a new spin on Fitzgerald's classics in her latest album, Ella, Accentuate the Positive. It's inspired by the musical legend's 100th birthday. And Regina Carter will be performing tomorrow night at the Sanders Theater at Harvard as part of the Celebrity Series of Boston. But first, she joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for braving the weather, by the way, and coming in. I love this music.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me ask you, is the violin the perfect instrument to want to use to recreate or to cover Ella Fitzgerald's voice?
I think it is, because I play the violin. And the violin is my voice. If I could sing, I would want to sound like Ella Fitzgerald, but there was only one Ella Fitzgerald. And I wanted to celebrate her. And so I feel like the violin is the closest instrument to the human voice.
Yeah.
And it's my way to sing the lyrics. I'm playing the lyrics. I know all the lyrics to these tunes I've recorded. And she just had such a huge collection of music. She crossed all kinds of genres and boundaries. Everything from straight ahead jazz to country western to pop. So there was so much material from which to choose.
I mean, she is American music.
She is. She is.
Can I just ask you, she had such spectacular range.
Yes.
And she was so skillful that when you listen to her, what is the process that you go through to say, okay, that is Ella Fitzgerald singing. Here's how I'm going to do it on the violin.
Well, first of all, I wanted to pay homage to her Yeah, it's a nod to Ella, so no one can be Ella.
Yeah.
It's just so taking these tunes, first of all, is to respect the lyrics
mm-hmm.
and respect the melody and to play that. And to know, not to box myself in stylistically, because that's not what she did.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do something different with the arrangements. And I grew up in Detroit. I'm a Motown baby. I love, Motown, R&B, soul. So with this record, I wanted to treat the arrangements like they were 50s, 60s R&B,
uh-huh.
soul, with a soul vibe, like a Mavis Staples or Otis Redding. And it's just some great material. I didn't choose, all the tunes on the record are not necessarily very famous tunes
yeah.
that she recorded. There are a few on there that people will recognize. But I figured so many people would do Ella tribute records because this will be her 100th
mm-hmm.
birthday coming up. I wanted to showcase some of the tunes that were lesser known, her
yeah.
B-side tunes, if you will.
Well, so let's hear a little bit more of what you've done on the album. Again, the album's called Ella, Accentuate the Positive. And here in a moment, we're going to hear your version of Crying in the Chapel. But first, let's hear the original by Ella Fitzgerald.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment now. I am happy with the Lord.
And here is Regina Carter's version. I hear what you mean about putting that 50s or 60s twist on it, mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, this arrangement was written by a great young bassist, Ben Williams, and it was just exciting to hear all of the different approaches that the different arrangers took on these tunes. And it makes it fresh for us, the player, as well, to do something different with it and keep it exciting. Yeah. But Ella, because she experimented with so many different styles, I wanted to keep with that,
right.
as well on this record.
Right. So for people who don't know you, or they don't know you enough and your career, remind us. You said you had grown up in Detroit.
Yes.
And you first started learning violin in the classic way. When you were young, you didn't just dive into jazz violin. But how'd you make that turn?
Well, I was a Suzuki baby. I started when I was 4 years old in Detroit, and it's a method where you learn to play by ear and then you learn to read later. So I think that was very helpful because I could hear things and repeat them. And when I was in high school, my dearest friend, who's a great jazz vocalist, Carla Cook, brought me records of three jazz violinists, Stephan Grappelli, Jean-Luc Ponty, and Noel Pointer. I had no idea that you could do this with the violin. I was so excited. And so I took these records home and I started learning the tunes and learning their solos and improvising. And this opened my world up. There was a freedom to the music, and I just really fell in love with this and decided this is what I wanted to do as my career.
Yeah. Well, you attended New England Conservatory for a couple of years,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But they didn't have a jazz course there at that time.
They did, actually.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And
my
I
mistake.
Auditioned for both departments and got in both, but I was with the classical department for the first year, and then I switched to the jazz department. And then after my second year, I felt like I needed a campus. So I transferred to Oakland University back in Rochester, Michigan, and then I studied with the likes of trumpeter Marcus Belgrave, organist Lyman Woodard, and so many of the... Detroit had a thriving jazz scene, so I'd studied with a lot of the musicians there.
Mm-hmm. So take us back to the current album, Ella, Accentuate the Positive. You talked about it at the beginning a little bit, but what's your personal relationship with Ella Fitzgerald's music like?
I grew up in my household. We listened to all kinds of music. And sometimes, you know, I just run across records maybe in the closet or something. And I remember specifically Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald. And whenever I would put Ella Fitzgerald's albums on, it would just make me feel very warm and loved inside. As I matured, I realized what a gift, a phenomenal voice she had. And there was just something. I always listened to Ella. She was always in my playlist. And a couple of records, I've recorded tunes in the past of tunes that she's done. And with her birthday coming up, I thought this would be the perfect time just to do a whole record dedicated to her, a nod to her. And it was just like, it's just so much material to choose from. And this is exciting for me. And just her whole, all the reading and research I've done about Ella, she always seemed like a very positive person. Mm-hmm. I remember a quote, which I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember, but it's where there is love, I don't think you can go wrong. And I think being a positive person, being honest, and doing something in love, we can all live by that.
Hear, hear. Well, let's hear a little bit more. Again, the new album from Regina Carter is called Ella Accentuate the Positive. But I want to play, first of all, one of Ella Fitzgerald's originals, and then we'll hear your version of it. This is one of my favorites. Imagine my frustration.
Sat down by the wall, invited to dance.
It just gets better and better. My crew in there in the control room is like, you got to talk again. We're running out of time. We can listen to the whole song, though. Okay.
It's such a great
it's such
tune.
Such a great song. Oh, well, let's hear Regina Carter's version of this.
Sat
How much fun is that?
I love that tune. It's such a grooving tune. Imagine my frustration at no invitation to dance.
The Wallflower Ella Fitzgerald? I mean,
come on. I don't think so.
No, Ella Fitzgerald played that with Duke Ellington at the piano, right?
Yes, Ella at Duke's place, yes.
Okay, so tell me, again, I guess it's the same question I asked a little earlier, but walk me through the process a little bit when you take such a well-known song like this and you're crafting a new arrangement for you and for the violin specifically.
Well, just because I like a tune doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for me or on my instrument. So I take the tune and I take it to the band and we try playing it. And I always record and listen back to see if it works or not. And sometimes it does and I'm happy, but sometimes it just doesn't work and I don't know why. It just doesn't lay right on the instrument, or maybe it's the way I'm approaching the tune. But once I find the tunes that I feel work on the violin and I can really express myself with the tune, then we start playing around with it and come up with an arrangement. And even, you know, we go in the studio, record the tunes, and then when we go on the road and start playing them, those arrangements grow and change into something else, which is beautiful. It's like cooking. You put in the spices, and how it tastes on Monday is going to taste even better on Wednesday.
Yeah. So you've been performing these songs at shows in front of live audiences.
Yes. This will be the Celebrity Series at Sanders will be, I think, our third gig with this. So it's been fun.
How do people respond to it?
They love it. So I wasn't sure in the beginning because, like I said, the tunes aren't necessarily her most famous tunes.
Yeah.
But I play snippets of her original recordings for some of the tunes so they hear it and then we play it. But everyone's been really open and they seem to love the material.
I'm going to guess that Ella Fitzgerald herself would have adored these arrangements.
I would hope so.
I'm just going to put it out there.
I would hope so. I respected the music. I respect the melody. And I think from what I've read of her, I think she would have been open to that.
Well, like you said, I mean, she was so broad in her musical taste and capacity.
Yes.
So we've just got a couple seconds left here. What's next for you?
Well, we just finished this record, so so we got to digest this one. We're going to start. The record will come out in April on Sony Masterworks. So we're looking forward to touring even more with that. But we're really looking forward to Sanders Theater.
Well, as Regina Carter mentioned, she will be at Sanders Theater tomorrow night. It's part of the Celebrity Series of Boston. We've got a ton of information about that performance at our website, radioboston.org. Regina Carter, you have absolutely made my day. Thank you so much for coming in for this beautiful music.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. So let's listen to a bit more music, and then, yes, we're going to do one last weather check-in before the show wraps up, but some more Regina Carter here. WBR meteorologist David Epstein on Skype. You got to match that. Can you do that?
I cannot compete with that kind of music. there's no way.
I know. We kind of set you up here, but give us an update. We talked to you at the top of the hour. How much snowfall have we seen in the past 50 minutes or so?
Well, it depends where you are, but some places have seen 3 or 4 inches of snow. So as it continues to wind down, we're noticing that heaviest snow band now just about over Boston, moving south and east. So the very heaviest is going to be exiting Boston here over the next 15 or 20 minutes or so. Doesn't mean it's going to stop snowing, just means that the intense rates of 2 to 4 inches will be winding down. As I move ahead towards, let's call it 8 or 9 o'clock, I think the snow will be just about done in Boston, maybe a couple of flurries. If you want to make your first pass, say between 4 and 5 o'clock at the driveway and the walkways, you probably have to do another one with maybe another inch to up to 3 inches, and that should be about it. Clearing skies overnight tonight, Meghna, and temperatures fall back down to the single digits and lower teens. Tomorrow's a nice day, sunshine, upper teens and lower 20s. We'll have a little more light snow tomorrow night and Saturday, and perhaps a more important storm here Sunday night into Monday. More on that throughout the weekend.
Okay, well, we'll get updates from you as we need to on those. WMeteorologist David Epstein, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.